Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and I thank God for your presence as you have tuned in for another lesson in the Word of God. Let us go and approach His throne of grace. Father God, once again, we come before your presence with humbled hearts and bowed heads, thanking you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Master, we just praise you for being the ruler of our life. We ask now, Lord, that we might be on one accord as we study together your Word, that we might be edifying and glorifying you and your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, once again, as I said, I thank you for tuning in once again to our program as we study together the Word of God, and we just get excited. I get excited when I open the Word of God, and we are doing a study of the book of Acts, which is one of my favorite books because it is about the birth of the church and the spread of the gospel throughout the known world. Amen. And whenever I need to understand how God is working, then I go to the book of Acts, and that clarifies in my heart and in my mind what his church ought to be doing. I believe we want to go back to the third chapter in about verse 13, and we're going to pick it up and just go through these verses and then keep continuing on. Amen. Verse 13, chapter 3 of the book of Acts. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, just for a little background on the verse, we know that this Peter is now talking about the lame man that was sitting outside the temple year after year, who was lame since birth. And as he stood begging for alms, when Peter and John were about to enter into the temple, he was looking towards them for a handout. Peter and John basically told him, silver and gold, we have none, but such as we have, we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus the Christ, rise up and walk. Took him by the right hand, and immediately man's ankle bones and legs were strengthened. For the first time in his entire life, he was able to stand. Now, this is the aftermath, if you will, that we pick up in verse 13. And it says, the God of Abraham, he is called the God of Abraham because Abraham acknowledged him as his God and because God showed himself to be his friend. He says, hath glorified, has honored, you denied, you despised, you murdered him, but God has exalted and honored him. Now, he's talking here about Jesus the Christ. We know that they denied the Christ. They denied that Jesus was the Messiah. They thought he was just a carpenter's son, a good rabbi, but not the Messiah whom they had been waiting for. And he said, and you denied him in the presence of Pilate. They were unwilling to accept him as their long-awaited King of Kings. Pilate was satisfied with this innocent, but you know what? Pilate was weak and timid and resolved himself to please the crowd rather than to please God. And he yielded to their wishes. And we realize that when Pilate yielded to their wishes, he granted amnesty, if you will, to a murderer rather than the one who was purely pure. And that was Jesus Christ himself. Now, in verse 14, it talks about the Holy One. The word just here denotes innocent, or one who's free from crime. And we know that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice that God gave his only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. He had to be perfect in all ways in order to be that satisfaction that God was looking for through the sacrifice. We know that all throughout the Old Testament teaches us that whenever the sacrificial lamb or the sacrificial animal was brought, it had to be without spot or blemish. In fact, extra-biblical writings say that many times the young lamb that would be sacrificed was brought into the home a week or so prior to the date that it would be sacrificed, so it could be checked for even internal parasites. It had to be inspected on the outside. It had to be inspected on the inside because it was to offer God your best. And the paradox is that God offered us his best through his son, Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, it talks about, and killed the prince of life. The word rendered prince denotes a properly military leader or commander. Now, that kind of strikes me as a little funny because what they were looking for was a military leader. Once again, if you understand what was transpiring in the Jewish mindset for all those years, when they look back in their history, every time they were oppressed by a pagan nation, when they prayed to God, when they repented of their evil, when God found favor once again with them, he would raise up a military leader that would lead them in battle. Many times the battle was of course always won by God, but he raised up that military leader to overcome that pagan nation. And they had that mindset that God was going to raise up another military leader. And here it is that God raised his only begotten son, and they did not see or accept him as who the Bible taught that he was. Because if they had paid attention to the scriptures, look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, if they had paid attention to what the word of God had said throughout all of known history, they could not have denied Jesus as the Messiah. But because he did not fit the mindset that he was to be a military leader that would rule and reign with them to overthrow the Roman oppression that they were under, they could not accept him for who he truly was. And it says, and his name in verse 16, through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. By means of faith in him, that is, by faith which Peter and John had in Jesus. Nowhere in the scripture text is it referred to any faith that the man had for himself. There's no evidence that the man even believed in Jesus Christ. But Peter and John, because of their faith in Christ, because of what they had witnessed, the finished work of Jesus Christ, they had personally seen the resurrection and the ascension, they knew the power of God, and they knew it firsthand, and they knew it would take the power of God to overcome this man's affliction. He says, there's no doubt that this was truly a miracle, because it said, whom ye now see and know. In other words, this is not a stranger. This is not somebody could have been a charlatan out of town that came in to pull a little razzle-dazzle over the people. This man has lived amongst you all of his life. This man you saw every day when you went to the temple. This was the man that had to be carried by friends or whoever to get him to the temple outside the gate called Beautiful, that he might extend his hands and look for a handout. And Peter and John came along and did not have a handout for him, but had a hand up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I get excited when I look at this verse, because that's the one thing that you and I have. We may not have enough silver and gold. We, even if we have silver and gold, but it is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we can extend to somebody who needs to be delivered from whatever abnormality they have in their life, whether it be drugs, alcohol, just sin in general. We can free them in the name of Jesus. He says, this man now has perfect soundness. Now, that's another thing that I get excited about, because when God truly heals, when God truly delivers, he gives us perfect soundness. It's nothing done halfway. It's nothing done haphazard. It's done in the fullness of the glory of God. That this man's ankle bones and his legs received strength. He was able to stand up and walk and leap. In fact, the Bible says he went into the temple leaping and praising God. And think about that for a minute. When you were set free from the sin that had you and I bound up from day one, when we acknowledged that we were sinners in need of a Savior, when we came and understood who Jesus was, when we understood that God gave his only begotten Son, when we understood that it's by his name that we are saved, when we understood it's by grace that we are saved, we leapt and praised God with joy because the burden of sin had been lifted off of our hearts. Amen. Now let's look at verse 17 for a moment. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Now, Peter seems to be cutting them a little slack. He's saying, I know you guys were ignorant of it, but you got to understand what was truly going on. Though they had been guilty of crime that was so enormous, yet Peter shows the tenderness of heart in addressing them still as his brethren. And that reminds us that when we begin to present the gospel to those who might be in some really gross sin, we need not look down our spiritual noses at them like we're so much better than them, but we need to talk to them in tenderness and mercy, because condemnation never will draw people to Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit's job to draw and condemn them. It is our job to present the gospel as the gospel was presented to us. And when we present the gospel in love, it will break and tenderize their hearts so they will hear. He means to say that their offense was mitigated by the fact that they were ignorant that he was the Messiah. My goodness. And that sometimes truly baffles me, but yet I understand, because how many times in my own life before I gave my life over to Jesus Christ did I understand intellectually who Jesus was, but yet through my ignorance could not fully accept him until that time in which the Spirit of the living God drew me. I said, as did also your rulers. But yet it was true that they did not believe that he was the Messiah. Their minds had been prejudiced. They had expected a prince and a conqueror. Like I said, all their views of the Messiah were different from the character which Jesus had manifested. Everything that Jesus was, they could not truly accept for who he truly was. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the clock on the wall says I need to begin to wind us down. Please check out our website at www.smbcmesa.org, where you can see what we're all about. And if you're looking for a church home, please ask the Lord if Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church may be the place for you to serve God. Please pray for me as I praise for you. And once again, please tune in again next week. God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.